The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Procedures are now in place to rapidly evaluate anybody who might be showing symptoms.
It's all about Ebola. That's how we kick off this week here on America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. And the systems, the president says, if you heard that, that the systems are in place. But what are the systems that we're prepared to do? You know, we're looking at these situations where Spain has its first outbreak, first known case of contracting Ebola outside of Africa. We have Thomas Duncan in Dallas still in critical condition in a hospital, and a whole lot of things that didn't happen right away that happened afterwards. We have the Texas governor calling for quarantines at the border to avoid an outbreak, and enhancing screening procedures are things that are being discussed perhaps at airports, but trying to figure out what the connecting flights would look like. And that hasn't become official. It's just one of the things that is being discussed in Washington. I mean, here's a great question. And think about it for this hour. Do you feel, and honestly, you may feel as though there is some panic that's not fair. You may feel as though you trust the government and that whatever is going to happen with Ebola, as more people are contracting it, we're seeing some things happen, that we're going to be okay, that they're going to handle this. We have smart medical people, and that, you know, not everybody involved in Ebola is dropping the ball. So whatever the CDC is saying, they're going to have their act together when we need them to have their act together. Or no, are you concerned that if somebody you know gets Ebola, that it would scare you out of your mind? I would have to think, for me, and I'm not a conspiracy theory person, I'm not a fearmonger, I would have to say I wouldn't feel 100% comfortable. Absolutely. Regardless of if I was doing this show or not, then the more information that I come across, the less secure I certainly feel, because we keep hearing about the twisted tale is like a fairy tale of what's going on at the CDC, where we hear one thing and then something else turns out to happen. And the hazmat crews and everything else in the Dallas situation, they weren't on top of it right away. And they were advising Dallas. Dallas was on the phone with the White House immediately when it was happening, and Atlanta and the CDC. So how did certain things fall through the cracks? Why didn't they were going to clamp down on the people that shared that house with Thomas Duncan. Why didn't they do it right away? And then it also goes to the hospital missing his diagnosis. But okay, so they missed the diagnosis. More people came in contact with him. But then once you know that happens, it's all the dominoes that fell afterwards. And I think there's just so many variables when it comes to Ebola that we don't know, that you cannot say, well, you know, it's okay if we're flying. I mean, British Airways and in Europe, they're making a concerted effort not to have that happen because they don't want to deal with the problems of somebody coming through because they see what can happen. But we're going to figure out other ways to deal with this, like maybe taking the temperature of some people who are coming back into the country. And frankly, I don't think that's enough. I think they have to shut down the routes from West Africa for now. I mean, you know, meaning the planes, until all the people that we've deployed to help in the situation can say, okay, we've got this contained. You know, some doctors feel, and we've even had somebody on the show last week who said, if they had jumped on this immediately, they would have probably been able to contain it a whole lot faster. So here we are, after the fact, going into West Africa, yes, doing everything we can to help in their Ebola crisis, because we know that's ground zero for it. So anything to shut it down, clean it up, is only to the world's benefit, including the United States. But boy, if we could have jumped on that faster, maybe some things would have been prevented. But we can't. I say this all the time on this show. We can look in the rearview mirror all we want, but that doesn't change what's happening in front of us. So what's happening in front of us is, as an American, how do you feel about more people coming in from the countries where this is highly contagious, I think, when they're exposed to Ebola? You know, we're being told, oh, no. But it's when, I think it's when you're around it in any form. This is what happened with Thomas Duncan. He was trying to help the neighbor who was young, who was riddled with Ebola, who they wouldn't take in the hospital, and who died from Ebola. Then he comes in. He doesn't, according to the forms, because we don't know. There's some, you know, we don't know the whole story because he's obviously out of it and is lying there fighting for his life. But according to the forms, at least what Liberia is saying, he never said that he was near anybody who was sick, that he was helping anybody who was sick. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to fly to the United States. But the upshot of it is that ultimately he was allowed to do that, and the rest is history. Coming up on America Tonight, coming up next, as a matter of fact, we're going to have a conversation with Dan Gaynor about Ebola, about the way Ebola is being reported, and whether or not we're really getting the whole story, or there are things that aren't being reported that sure would be good to know about Ebola. Gaynor is with the Media Research Center's Business and Culture Department, and he talks about why the networks seem to be confident in the CDC over Ebola, and they're ignoring 98% are ignoring some of the past failures. And is this part of the reason why maybe the people, some people are feeling as though, hey, it's going to be okay? That's what I said at the top. Do you feel confident that this is going to be handled? No reason to panic, no reason to think that the government can't handle the ports of entry and the people that may come in contact with somebody with Ebola, and that's going to explode into a huge problem for us here in the United States, that we don't have to go berserk. We don't have to stop flights in and out of the West African countries because we can still find a way to contain this without having to go to that extreme of a measure, because we feel very confident in the way it's being treated. Tell that to the nurse's assistant in Spain who was helping with a Spanish priest, a missionary and a Spanish priest, both of who had Ebola, got it in West Africa, and died when they got back to Spain. She developed the symptoms on September 30th. She wasn't hospitalized until this week. And her only symptom was that fever that everybody talks about. And they say they got great equipment and they're trying to do everything they can. But, of course, they're also tracing who she came in contact with while she was contagious. See, that's that incubation period thing. Okay, when was it ignited? Who did you come in contact with? And she was one of about 30 or so people in Spain who helped treat those Ebola patients. So they think, wow, do the math, it could be that much worse. Dan Gaynor next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
choices, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Tonight, we've been talking a lot about the way Ebola has been handled. As you know, our satellite facility where I am is 10 miles from where Thomas Duncan is lying in a hospital bed, still in critical condition in Dallas, Texas. He's the guy who got Ebola once he came to the United States visiting relatives in Dallas. Dan Gaynor is in our virtual green room. He's with the Media Research Center's Business and Media Institute, and they did a wild study. I shouldn't say wild, but they always study these kind of things. But they did a study on the number of network reports on Ebola and about it coming to the United States, and had some interesting findings, I think, that I was very surprised in relationship to just trusting the CDC and not questioning anything about some of their past misses. Hey, Dan, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I mean, this is an issue of life or death for all of us, and so it's kind of important.
Yeah, so what did you find when you looked at what the networks were presenting as far as Ebola and how it's been handled?
Well, I mean, what we found is that the networks that have dutifully covered the many missteps of, of the CDC, particularly this year, because there have been so many that it's been hard to ignore. And I actually think CBS has done a pretty good job up to now. But then when you start talking about Ebola and the CDC, suddenly we're supposed to think that they're a well-run organization that knows what they're doing. And in 98% of the story, okay, that's almost close to 100% as you can possibly get, 98% of the stories, we found that they didn't bring up any questions about CDC, their qualifications, their past mistakes, anything like that, even though this is an organization that has become both politicized and bureaucratic and incompetent to the point where they can't even handle pathogens that they're responsible for properly.
Yeah, it's crazy, too, when you think of it, as you said. This affects all of us, and people are freaked out because they don't know a lot about Ebola. You're getting bits and pieces. We're hearing different things. And, you know, we're talking about the Ebola outbreak in general. If we re-rack and go all the way back to March, and then, of course, the doctor, Dr. Brantley, and his assistant, the person who was working with him, Nancy Reitbol, who was volunteering, she also comes down with Ebola. They both almost die. He said it was like walking through hell is how he described it, which was enough to shake me up. And apparently everybody's just brushed that off, and I don't understand that. Is there some tie-in here why, or just giving cred to the CDC or what?
Well, I mean, I think generally the media take a defensive position for anything the administration does. Journalists are inherently statists. In a time of crisis, the people that they always think are the people who are going to help you out are the government. Even though we keep seeing repeated examples, I mean, whether it's the VA outright killing our veterans or the IRS that just got fined for misreleasing of tax information. I mean, who can we trust? Well, it's fair to say I'm sure there are some wonderful people working for the CDC. But they're also, it's not a well-run organization. And journalists ordinarily would be suspicious of organizations. Imagine if this was a business handling thing.
Yeah, I know we'd be all over them. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I mean, they've certainly been quick to go after the hospital in question in Dallas. Well, let's talk some about the CDC and their role in all this, and are we being managed by the best people possible, the most competent players? Because if you even use Obama's statement, we don't have room for a lot of missteps. Amen.
No, we don't have a lot of room for missteps because we see what's happening in West Africa. And yes, you can say, oh, well, that's West Africa, and they don't have the kind of medical care we have, and they don't have access like we have, and, it's dirty, it's crowded, there's not any room. Well, that's why we're there. That's why the president sent the amount of people that he sent to build these clinics and everything else. But the bottom line is Ebola is a virus, and what does it know about that? If somebody has Ebola and it's transferred to you through some kind of bodily fluid like a sneeze and that comes off and it hits you, which is why there's concern over why are they even monitoring people that Tom Duncan came in contact with, because obviously they know how serious it can be. But when I say they, it's the CDC that all of a sudden stepped in and they sent a team of people, but they initially missed it all in the beginning. I mean, like you said, everybody was looking at the hospital in Dallas, but immediately upon contacting the CDC, they didn't even tell Dallas to send out the hazmat trucks until days later. And isn't that a little bit late in the game when already people have been in and out of an apartment, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's being so PC about this. And, I saw that one of the administrators in Dallas escorted the quarantined family out by not wearing a quarantine suit. I mean, deliberately, because, I don't want to scare people. You know what? Wear the darn suit. I mean, we're more concerned about not offending people. There are two problems here. I mean, one is that we're so worried about offending people and trying not to scare people, when in reality, who keeps getting this illness? The medical people we're treating. The latest case in Spain is a nurse who they said had only two interactions with the victim, a priest who got it and passed away. So somehow or another, the doctors, the nurses, there was one hospital in Liberia, I think 23 of the nurses and doctors or something got it there and died out of 25.
Wow.
So, that's the problem, one. And two, you look at the medical care and the hazmat teams, everything involved in each one of these cases. Well, so far we only have 6 cases in this country, and God bless, I hope that's all we ever get. And that would be great. And, but each one of them is probably getting the equivalent of millions of dollars of care. And so what happens if it's suddenly 1,000 or 10,000? I mean, for people who don't remember history, after the World War One in 1918, the U.S. and the world faced what was called then the Spanish flu. And the Spanish flu killed 650,000 people in the United States and somewhere between 30 and 50 million globally because it was, they just had no idea. And we had a ramped up healthcare system at the time because, of course, we had been in a war. So we had, you know, a lot of doctors, a lot of nurses, stuff like that. And it really almost broke the American healthcare system. Now, I know we have vastly better medical understanding, vastly better drugs and doctors and advanced technology and all that other stuff. But how many people can we handle at this level of care? And even at this level of care, you see the nurse in Spain. I mean, they're shipping the guy in a tube. I mean, you know, this is a serious risk, and we've got people worried about not offending people in Africa or worried about, oh, scaring the people who are under quarantine. We are not shutting this down in any way that seems logical, and the media aren't asking those questions.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Then there's the other question about, okay, so, I mean, excellent, astute observation about if how many people get it, then how do we treat all those people? And also, you know, the experimental drugs, which we don't know for sure what that did for the doctor and Nancy Reitbol, but a lot of people seem to think it did, the ZMapp. They don't have ZMapp, so there's no experimental drugs other than this one drug they have in Canada that's a possibility. So even there, we're stuck because you gotta, this is, as you know, Ebola, in a way, is kind of one of those things you have to ride out. You're kind of at the craps table, aren't you?
Yeah, well, this is, I mean, they actually have a new, they've given the individual in Texas another experimental drug that they've tried on a couple other illnesses. He's the first human to get it to be tried for Ebola. And I hope it works. I mean, we don't know what his motivation was. We don't know enough about the case, whether he really thought he had it and came here irresponsibly or whether, you know, he just didn't even think he was unhealthy. Because, I mean, our knowledge base of this seems to be fluid, appropriately enough, since, you know, you can get this through bodily fluids. It seems to be constantly changing. Yes, it can incubate in the body for 21 days, but, you know, you see reports that maybe you still might be able to pass it on to others through bodily fluids longer than that. I don't know. But here's what we do know, is that the people who are the most in charge have handled a lot of other situations. And this is the CDC that politicizes data, has been involved in controversies involving food, tobacco, alcohol. They're the ones who played games with the obesity stats and said obesity was the number one killer in the country. When they got pushed back on that, they backed off a little bit. And then, you know, experienced researchers and all said, no, this is completely bogus. They ended up lowering their estimate, you know, like a factor of several times over. I mean, the number plummeted. And yet they were the ones out there touting that as a way of reining in what we eat. This is not an agency that, you know, is solely focused on medicine and health. This is an agency that's political, and that scares me no end.
Yeah, perfect way to end this. I absolutely agree with you. Too many variables going on here. Dan Gaynor, the Media Research Center's VP of Business and Culture, thanks for hopping on with us.
Happy to do it anytime.
Yeah?
Do you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms, for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Moment when all of you are front and center, and we actually check in at the mailbag and see what you've had to say. A lot of it centering around Ebola and some other big things that are happening in the world that are creating buzz in your neighborhoods. So on that note, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Bruce, who says, Kate, I heard you mention 370. I cannot believe the Australians are so stupidly pumping so much of their own money into this search with that whole sonar thing again. Are they crazy? Do you think they're going to find the remnants of that plane? Are they really going to do it for an entire year and they've mapped out the floor of the Indian Ocean? It seems very tricky to me. What do you think? Well, not being an oceanographer or part of a search team, but having talked to a few people, Yeah, there is no definites here. I mean, listen, how much are we talking about? You know, what do we know about the sea shelves, and how deep something could sink? So if the plane smacked into the water in an area near Australia, trying to find it is like a needle in the haystack, it seems, because they really thought they were in touch with it the first time around, meaning the wreckage, and they didn't. It was flotsam. And there were things that were taken from space, the satellite photos, and that turned out to be pointing to flotsam. So there was nothing to recover. And there were a lot of people disappointed, thought that they were going to find remnants of the plane. And for the families who are desperate for anything about this Flight 370, you know, it's been how many months now since March? So they're back to square one for this missing plane. There's all these false starts over and over again. And now you're right. The Australians are pumping a bunch of money into it. I think it's like the equivalent of $60 million in U.S. dollars. But they think that they're going to be able to find the plane. You got, again, you have these trenches, these shelves. It's tough to, when you map out the floor of the ocean, good luck. They say they have to keep searching, and this is the next phase. If a year goes by and nothing, then you know they're going to ice that search. And then maybe one day something comes up, or, you know, maybe it takes longer. I mean, who knows how long it will take for that. Okay, here's one from Joe, who's listening to us in Illinois. Kate, I've emailed you several times, and I'm emailing you again. What's the scoop on this guy? You were talking about it last week, who has eluded the police after what was a crazy ambush of these Pennsylvania State Police troopers. And now this guy is on the loose somewhere in the Poconos, I heard you say. It's crazy that they can't find him. You mentioned that you had been to the Poconos a lot as a kid. Why is it they can't find him? Well, as to why they can't find him, I can't answer that question because what every square inch have they searched and what have they done? I'm not on the manhunt with them, but it does seem odd, although the Poconos are very thick. It's, you know, if this guy knew the woods like the back of his hand, which it sounds like he did or does, he had this all plotted out, perhaps. His name is Eric Freen. There is no motive for what he did, which is so strange. He shoots the officers, then he escapes. So you've got one dead and one was wounded. And it was, I mean, why? What was this? Why that? Why did he ambush them? And that's troubling. But I think with this massive search, because, of course, you know, you don't just kill these troopers. You don't just shoot these troopers, kill one and leave another wounded and think, oh, well, you know, we're going to do what we can for the search. No, you've got massive, massive amounts of bodies on this. They say at one time you've had as many as 1,000 officers. So think about 1,000 officers combing the Poconos and they can't find him. There have been sightings and leads and they think they found some of his stuff. But here's the deal. Having knowledge from his computer, it looks as though he's planned this for years. So what, I mean, he had massive hatred. He's a survivalist guy who had massive hatred for law enforcement types. So he's planning on doing this. Well, I think that he had the whole scenario laid out in the woods somewhere, and that's why they can't find him. And how do you answer that question? I hope they find him, but I don't think it was as simple as, okay, he was planning on ambushing them, then he ambushes these state troopers, and he takes off in the Poconos, and that's it. They just can't find him. I think there's more to it. So he had some things staged or ready to go because he knew he was going to run. Of course, he knew. Does he think they're not going to chase after him? Of course. But it's crazy how long this has been. Weeks and weeks have gone by. I mean, this was last month when this happened. And they might get this is September 12th. And they've been getting information, but have not been able to capture him yet. All right, here's one from Jake in Austin talking about Ebola. Kate, Ebola to me is threatening enough. I don't want to hear about some virus right here in the state of Texas and saying that, well, we know what we could do if we have Ebola. We've got the great equipment to use, and there are people that are monitoring situations. How would you feel if you came down with Ebola? Well, sick as a dog, panicked, listening to what I've said this over and over again, but listening to the comments from Dr. Brantley, a guy who was a doctor who knew exactly what was going to happen to his body, and saying he's incredibly grateful that he made it through, but he has never been through anything like that in his life. You know, it's like my husband said to me, although this is on the extreme edge, if you have not read the book Hot Zone, read Hot Zone. It's very scary, and it's about that. It's about the Ebola virus and what happened to the people in this book, which is a novel, but what happened to the people in the hot zone with Ebola. And it's reading it, it seems like the description of what Brantley is saying. So there's no comfort in saying, yes, there's equipment and isolation and all that kind of stuff. Nobody wants to get an Ebola virus. Nobody wants to get any kind of a deadly virus, let alone Ebola, when we're seeing how deadly it is in West Africa. Yes, different in West Africa than in the United States, but still, a virus is a virus. And if you are in contact with someone who died from a virus, how bad is the strain? I mean, is there a difference in the kind of strain that you would get? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things they still don't even know about Ebola. That's why there's experimental treatments and things that people are taking. Here's one from Joseph, who says, Kate, I was so sad to learn about Paul Revere, guy who sang a song that I loved as a kid. I don't know if you know who Paul Revere is, but I think his music, he and his band were pretty entertaining. In fact, I read that he had a crazy nickname. He was the Madman of Rock and Roll. And that at one time he was pretty popular, I guess, in the 60s. I heard him as a kid in the late 70s, early 80s, but that's because you know how music lives on and on. I remember Indian Reservation. Yeah, I tried to do a rendition of that earlier on the show that I won't repeat, but that's a song you do hear a lot. He was 76 years old. They say he died at his house. He lived in Idaho. And, he was in a band that played back in the concert days where you played a ton of gigs. You know, it seemed like in those days, I guess, in the 60s and 70s, when you look at old footage, they're everywhere. You're in a band, and those bands were everywhere, playing. And that's back in the vinyl days when people were running out buying records. I mean, man, how things have changed. And this is, I guess he was from Buffalo, New York. So they certainly played in their hometown a bunch, but they were a roadie band. That was a roadie kind of band. They were out on the road a ton. So, yep, dead at the age of 76. All right, let's slip in another one. This one is from Gail, who says, hello, Kate. I've been listening to the show now for a couple of months. I listen to you in Sarasota. Can't wait to you come and visit. Please let us all know if you're going to be in Florida again. You definitely have a following here, and I like it when you refer to the state of Florida. I'll tell you what, you mentioned the midterm elections, and I think it's going to be really interesting, too. Hard to say, in some cases, what will happen, whether the Senate will jump over to Republicans or not, but I bet you that you're going to see some shakeout with some of the seats, don't you think? Oh, yeah, absolutely, I think. But here's what I love to say. You can make an argument about presidential politics. In other words, when we talk about voting, popular vote, and voting for a president, and what's the effect on ultimately with the Electoral College, what does your vote count? But I certainly think when you're talking about senators and congresspeople and local elections, all of your votes matter. I mean, that's why they're out there stumping for them. And I think we may see some switches. I'm not so sure the Senate goes the way of the Republicans, but it's going to be an interesting election, that's for sure. Old school, new school.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
The first couple of turns here on the last segment for this hour of America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you. One of my favorite new segments that we do, I invite Matt Johnson into the lion's den, as it were, for old school, new school. You ready, Matt?
I am ready to go.
Okay, so I think you can all appreciate this. We have a fascination in this country with the mob. I mean, hey, they have a fascination with the mob elsewhere, too. Just go to Italy. They're always talking about it, especially in Sicily, if you can understand what they're saying. Old mob, old school mob versus new school mob. Old school mob is like Bugsy Siegel, where he just took over Las Vegas and he was the guy. Or Al Capone, the legendary story of Al Capone, and it took really tax evasion to bring him down, versus the new mob, like these crazies who do reality television shows and think they're really cool and they're part of the mob and they're these mob wives and all this other nonsense. And it seems like everybody in New Jersey or New York with a pizza parlor, there's always the hint of the possibility of a mob connection. And, of course, the new mob is the Russians. The Russian mob in New York is thriving. Does anyone know their names? No, they're elusive, but they will break your legs in 2 seconds. So what do you think, Matt, old school or new school mob?
I would definitely go old school. There's just, I don't know, maybe it's because it's been romance a lot in the movies and different shows, but it just, I don't know, it sounds like a lot better stories and a lot more entertainment, I guess, for me now. I don't really get in with those reality shows are too fake for me, and I don't really think they're trying to play up something that they're not.
I agree. I think they try to play up the whole mob thing.
And the Russian mob's just plain scary.
Yeah, they're plain scary. I want nothing to do with them. And the Russian mob comes calling, I'm gone, and I hope all of you would be gone too. But you're right. There's something about the whole, and they've romanticized it. Of course, you're right. And we weren't dealing with Bugsy personally, but, and you know, that was turned into a movie, Bugsy, in the 90s and 91, and he was a big-time mobster, Bugsy Siegel, but he did have this sort of charming side to him, no doubt. And, you know, there's all these stories with a lot of these mob guys is how do they really die and what really happened and the mystery of this and the mystery of that. And I guess that's why. Jack chimes in, by the way, Matt, and he says, the old school mob had standards and ethics. The new school mob doesn't. I guess in a way that's right. There were certain people they would not touch.
There's a code.
Yeah, there was a code. That's right. There was a code. Like, you would never do a made man. Remember that? You know that from The Godfather, but that's really true. You couldn't just, as in the game of shooting each other for territory, they couldn't just go off and do that. Now, with the Russians, I think they would just hack up anyone, depending on what was happening and what they thought they were getting cheated on. All right, we move from the mob to old school Halloween, when we ran around like banshees with pillowcases on our back. I mean, I tore up Cherry Hill in South Philly. We didn't even eat all the candy. I think we donated it. I remember going to a senior living center and donating candy and going to another school and donating candy because it was crazy how much we got. It was all about filling up those pillowcases versus new school organized Halloween functions where they open the trunks of the car or they're at a mall or they close off a block and the kids walk up and down the same block. What do you think, Matt?
I'm definitely old school because I have a lot of stories from when I was trick-or-treating as a kid. And, you know, you went with your parents up until a certain age. Then I remember, you know, once I got to, I think it was maybe second or third grade, then I went with neighborhood kids, and there were always a group of older kids that were with you, and then eventually you went out on your own, and I don't know, it was a lot of fun, I thought, and you know, going around the neighborhoods and doing all that thing, and I'm not saying that going to the gym and doing the trick-or-treating is fun, not fun, but it's just, I think there's a lot more experiences that you can have when you're just going around the neighborhood and hanging out.
I agree. There was something about going around the neighborhood, and what would happen is when you came home, I can remember it was a big deal. We separated all the candy with my mother.
Oh, yeah,
and it
definitely
would be like, I remember, I'm sure your parents said this, hey, did you go to the Sohanchek's house? What did they give you? And you would know, oh, are you kidding me? They gave me like 3 Baby Ruth bars, and it'd be like crazy what some people gave out. And it was such a big deal that when somebody you thought gypped you and they hardly gave you anything, you knew who it was. It was the neighbor who didn't give you anything.
My thing was there was always a couple houses that would give away the king-size candy bars, and so you always made sure to hit those. And then sometimes if you're creative enough, you'd switch up your costumes and maybe hit them again.
Yeah, of course. We're going back there. They have giant candy. Plus, there was the honor system. So if somebody was away, they knew everybody in the neighborhood
anyway.
They'd leave
the bag and take one.
Yeah. And you wouldn't take everything. You would take the giant candy bar, but there would be tons left. So nobody was ripping them off. Now, forget that. Somebody would probably come up, I mean, not to be cynical, and they'd probably dump the whole bowl in their bag. I don't know. So, yeah, I think old school Halloween rocked, no question about it. Our next one is old school beer drinking, like the can of Bud in one hand, on the boat fishing, or hanging out, whatever you were doing, or Schlitz, malt liquor, any of that kind of stuff, Red Stripe, versus local brew pubs, where you go and sometimes you fill up even with the local beer or cider, and they have different flavors, and they tell you about brewing them, and they have blonde, and they have stronger ale, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like the cool place to be to hang out with the cool kids to go try the local brew pub. I'll just tell you, I'm local brew pub. I know that I grew up with guys around me that would be probably be Red Stripe or whatever the cheap beer was. Probably was what was cheap. But I like the brew pubs. I've always have, even when I was in school. That's just how I roll.
For me, it's kind of a split decision here. One, up here, I mean, you can just trip over yourself and run into, like, four brew pubs or breweries because it's just the craft brew scene up here in Minneapolis is just out of the world. But if I'm going to – I can't drink a lot of those because it's just – I don't know if they're filling and they're getting a little pretentious with all the different kinds they have now. So if I'm going to do one, I'd say that. But if I'm going to be hanging out on the lake or going out and watching the game, I'm definitely going to go the old school with the Bud or something like that.
All right. So split decision for you. I will say this, that I like Yingling, but Yingling is a beer I can't get where I live because it's too far away. It's mostly in the Northeast, and I just like the taste of that. I think it's a, I also think it's a taste thing because there's stronger beers and weaker beers and, you know, the flavor. It's something about the flavor. And some people absolutely hate beer, and they only occasionally have wine, or they like wine, or they, you know, whatever their particular poison is. I mean, I think I'm equal opportunity. So I like the brewers and distillers. I like that. I'm definitely new school. Okay, so we move from that to dress. Now, or old school was women wore, even if you went to the ball game, you were wearing a dress. You look at the 50s, footage from the 50s and 60s, and you look at professional football games, and you look at professional baseball games. You just look at a Saturday night, a Friday night, and women were wearing dresses. It could be a casual looking dress. It wasn't like it was a prom dress, but they wore dresses and dressed up, and men wore ties. You were wearing a tie, you were wearing a hat. Now, no. Casual dressing, jeans with, you know, maybe you throw on a tie, but it's more about casual dressing for the most part, unless it's like a big affair. And certainly you don't go to a ball game in a dress and a suit and tie and a hat. You wouldn't, I mean, that's, you know, 30 years ago. But is there something about dressing up that's pretty cool versus kind of schlagging it? What do you think, Matt?
Like once in a while, yeah, but I mean, I couldn't imagine just going to the ball game and sweating all over a suit because it's 80 degrees and sunny out. I just, that would not happen for me.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think it's neat to look at those old photographs of how people were and how they dressed. Like, I look at my grandmother, who's a big sportswoman, too, and she's really super cute, really pretty, actually, pretty woman. And she'd be at the racetrack, or she would be, she always went to the Eagles games, and she was in a dress. They wore dresses, so that's just how they rolled then. And I can't imagine that now. I can't, like with the weather especially. Jeans and a sweatshirt. I mean, if it's cold, and if it's hot, you're going to wear shorts. I mean, let's face it. So I am definitely all about the new school look when it comes to that kind of thing. All right, old school, new school. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.